And Trevor's family have been plugged in a lot of different ways, but currently he serves as one of our student ministry volunteers. And so without further ado, I'm going to let Trevor take it over and share with you how Jesus has impacted him, his family, and his own faith journey. So Trevor, thank you.
Thank you, Doug. Like Pastor Doug said, I've been going here for a long time. I'm a school teacher at Eureka High School, and I'm a high school coach, and I'm from Iowa. I'm not a St. Louis kid. I didn't grow up in St. Louis, so the famous, where'd you go to high school? When I say I went to Burlington High, I always get a, nobody knows that school. So when I was first asked about if I would, I got an email from Julie, and she said, we're asking some people in the church to give their kind of their impact that Jesus has made on you, your testimony. And at first I was like, no way, I'm not doing that. But as the day went on, I kind of thought, well, I'm kind of denying Jesus. I'm turning away from him, and here I've been going to this church for, I know, 27 years. My son's here tonight, and he was baptized here. And I don't want to get up in front of my church and talk about my faith to my home church that I've been going to for a long time. I reconsidered, and I thought, I can share the blessings that I've had in my life. So I was born in a Christian family. I grew up Catholic, and I was baptized, had my first communion. I was confirmed in the Catholic Church, and very loving family. My mom and dad were my greatest inspiration to me as a kid. They taught me about Jesus from the time I can remember. Jesus was in our life. And I just saw love all the time. There were hardships in my life, but throughout my lifetime, as an elementary age, middle school, high school student, I had close friends, I had cousins, I had aunts and uncles that made an impact on my life. And Jesus' love was that reason. I knew that at an early age. I went off to college in 1987, I think. I took off for college, and that's where I met my wife. And we were college sweethearts, and I wanted to I wanted to marry her, I think, soon after I met her family. I met her family, and her mom and dad were Christians, and Jesus was a big part of their life, and she was very strict with me about my faith, and I learned a lot from her about her faith. And we grew up in different backgrounds, and I think it was important to her, and that made it exciting for me that Jesus was important to her as well. So I think her family love of Jesus and my family's love of Jesus helped me through a lot of hard times. And I think that was easy for me growing up, always having that love and kindness around. When Sarah and I got married and moved to St. Louis, we were both looking for, we wanted to find a church where we could raise our family. And we found St. John. And when I first moved to St. Louis, I didn't have a teaching job. I was just a teacher aide. And I was working at a restaurant right across the parking lot here called Fraley's. I don't know if any of you remember Fraley's. And I was bussing tables and washing dishes. And I always saw this church over there, and I saw St. John's. I said, well, I grew up in St. John's. But it was a different St. John's. And Pastor Hauer was in charge at that time. And when I came to church here, it just fit for me. And my wife and I were checking a lot of different churches at that time when we had first got married. And we'd go home and we'd talk about what made an impact on us. And we kept coming back to St. John's. We kept coming back here. And I really had a desire when I saw the children's ministry here. Lance, my usher tonight, my son had him, he was his Sunday school teacher. So when I looked over for the offering, I saw Lance. I was like, this is my home church. And he was always so kind and such a compassionate person in Sunday school. And my kids were always treated with love and kindness here. Michelle Thompson, I know, made an impact on me. She was a special person here because she had so much love for kids. And I know she was full of love from Jesus. Pua has been a great mentor for my daughter, both my daughters, Jill and Hayden. And I volunteer at CORE, and I brag on CORE all the time. If you don't know what's going on at CORE, you got to go over there. It is the coolest thing. I'm telling you, it's neat. And I'm helping with seventh grade, and our high school mentors who help, they do a fantastic job. And the love that they have for Jesus, they pour into those middle school kids, and it just really lifts me up. I kind of was hesitant to do that as well. But I volunteered with a lot of things with this church. I've been an usher. I've helped with Sunday school. I hung on the cross right over there next to Jesus in the Passion Play in the late 90s. So it's been important to me. And I thought, when they asked me to speak, what is your relationship with Jesus? Can you find a story in the Bible? I thumbed through the Bible and I found the story of the Good Samaritan. And if I could read that, is that going up there? The Good Samaritan rang true to me because of the love that I always received. So in Luke 10:25-37, on one occasion, an expert in the law, up to test Jesus, teacher, he asked, "What must I do to inherit eternal life?" "What is written in the law?" he replied. "How do you read it?" He answered, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your strength, and with all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself." "You have answered correctly," Jesus replied. "Do this and you will live." But he wanted to justify himself, so he asked Jesus, "And who is my neighbor?" In reply, Jesus said, "A man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho. When he fell into the hands of robbers, they stripped him of his clothes, beat him, and went away, leaving him half dead. A priest happened to be going down the same road, and when he saw the man, he passed by on the other side. So too, a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, as he traveled, came where the man was, and when he saw him, he took pity on him. He went to him and bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. Then he put the man on his own donkey, took him to an inn, and took care of him. The next day he took out 2 silver coins, gave them to the innkeeper. 'Look after him,' he said, 'and when I return, I will reimburse you for any extra expense you may have.' Which of these 3 do you think was a neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of robbers?" The expert in the law replied, "The one who had mercy on him." Jesus told him, "Go and do likewise." So that story, as a small kid, I heard that, and I just was always surrounded by love, and I wondered why those other men didn't help someone who had been beaten and thrown to the side of the road. It didn't make sense to me. Why would you walk by someone? So my mind works in crazy ways. I'm just a PE teacher in Eureka, Missouri, and I'm driving home one day, and I thought to myself, the story my dad used to tell me. He grew up in Kimmswick, Missouri, and I thought, I can't tell this story, but he, after high school, football practice or track, they didn't have activity buses, so they would leave Crystal City, and they'd walk out to Highway 61, and they would just hitchhike. and they would hitchhike back to Kimswick. It was 10 to 12 miles. And he would tell us this. And as a kid, I thought, there's no way. You just got in the car with strangers? Why would you do that? He's like, well, that's just what we did. We just hitchhiked home. And when I was a kid growing up, my dad felt like it was his duty to always help people because he was always helped. And he would pick up hitchhikers all the time. In the 70s, a lot of people still hitchhiked. And I thought, what are you, Dad, what are you doing? A complete stranger. He had an old Ford pickup or a Chevy pickup. And we always rode in the back of the pickup. And if he saw a hitchhiker, he'd just pull over and say, jump in the back with the kids. And I'm like, hey, this is a stranger. So I saw that passion. And just, he would help people. My mom and dad both were very loving, caring people. My house growing up was always full of people. They always had people over, and they just liked to take care of people. And I saw that love in my family, my cousins. I was surrounded by it. So I've been blessed my entire life. I think now, why was that all for me? Why did I grow up in that house? And why was I blessed? And I see kids today, and a lot of them are hurting. A lot of them are having tough times. And I wonder why I was born in a loving, caring home. And I have students that come through, and they're going through a lot of heartache. They're going through a lot of turmoil. And so now I feel like I'm trying to show that love for my own kids, and I hope I have. I hope they know that I've been blessed with the love of Jesus, and I want them to carry on and do the same thing. I want to continue to help them. I'm a school teacher. I try to help kids at school all the time. I try to show that Jesus love that he's poured into me and blessed me. With this church, I feel like this has been a blessing for my family to grow up in this church. So players that I have, the community that I live in, I feel like it's my turn to give back. And is it picking up hitchhikers? Is it giving money to homeless people? I don't know, but there is a fear sometimes of, I don't want to help. So I kind of understand now. Maybe way back when Jesus told that parable, there were people who were fearful of helping that person because they didn't know if they were going to be hurt. So I just want to help as much as possible, and I feel like it's my turn to just keep shining that love of Jesus because he's always been a part of my life. A few years back, just before COVID hit, we had a foreign exchange students from France, and they needed a mentor, they needed a place for the chaperone to stay, and they asked if anyone would be willing to do that. So I came home and asked my wife. I said, "Can we take in this grown man? He's a chaperone for all these foreign exchange students they were placing in the Rockwood schools in the St. Louis County area," and when I met him, we took him in. My wife gave the go-ahead, and we took him in, and he was not a man of faith. He didn't believe in God, and we had conversations, and I thought maybe I can share my love of Jesus with him, and I told him that I've been blessed, and he would always say, "Well, I think I'm lucky," and I said, "Well, I'm blessed, and I wish you'd just read about Jesus and just dig into it." So I do have verse that I'd like to read that is in John chapter 5, verse 19, and kind of speaks to me a little bit about trying to be a positive role model for my kids and for people around me. Jesus gave them this answer. "I tell you the truth, the Son can do nothing by himself. He can do only what he sees his Father doing, because whatever the Father does, the Son also does. And I'm just blessed to be in this church. The Lord has blessed me, and I hope that I can pass on that love that I've been given to my kids and to my grandkids.
Well, Trevor, you didn't share before when we were practicing how much hesitation you had about coming up here and,
no,
and doing this.
No, I know. I know. It was, I don't know. It was just that during that day, when Julie sent me that email, I went home and talked to my wife about it. And she's like, go do it. So I felt like I should do it. I feel like, why not? Why can't I come and talk to my church? I hope they don't throw stuff at me.
I mean, it's relatively safe. I have to think that there are probably people sitting here who would probably rather pick up a stranger danger hitchhiker yeah. than come talk in front of
their
church.
Yes.
So I think it's a brave and bold thing that you persevered through, and I'm so glad you did.
Thanks.
I had a couple of thoughts as you shared, and just a couple of things I wanted to affirm, because you said things that resonated with my own experience. And the first one is, you talk about hearing the parable of the Good Samaritan as a kid and how it just seems so obvious. And but then we grow up, and suddenly these obvious wisdoms,
sure.
they get way harder.
Yes.
And you suddenly think, I get why Jesus had to tell this story now. And I think that this is one of the most important parables in that sense, that it's so obviously true that you tell it to a five-year-old.
Sure.
And there's, I mean, I don't know if you've had this experience. I know you've taught Sunday school and middle schoolers. When you tell a little kid this story, there's zero question mark. There's no,
sure.
Jesus is a weirdo for saying that, right? Like they're like, of
yes.
course that's who the good neighbor is, the way the Samaritan you know, treated him. And it's fascinating to me that it's one of those wisdoms that then you get older and you get maybe hurt, you get fearful, and suddenly this thing that was so obviously true, you wish it weren't so obviously
sure.
true. And hitchhikers, I think my wife would divorce me if I picked up a hitchhiker with our kids in the car. I think that would be...
I was just with my parents, and after they got married, they were taken off on their honeymoon, and my dad was trying to pick up a hitchhiker, and my mom said I about killed him right there. And my dad's like, hey, sorry, my wife said no, we just got married, we're on our honeymoon. He goes, oh, so she's calling the shots already. So...
I'm super curious about how well the rest of their honeymoon went after that.
Well, they're going to be married 60 years in August,
so they got through it.
Yeah.
Well, and I think it's a great example that you picked, because hitchhiking is a thing that was culturally more accepted, 70 years ago, and now it's completely unheard of. But is Terry okay? Okay. All right. She's laughing and cheerful. So you just tripped. All right. Okay. All right. We got no syncope going on.
You okay?
Thanks.
Yeah. Absolutely, Terry. All right. Well, everyone's doing bold things today. getting called out. Getting noticed. So hitchhiker, Jesus modeling, I think the thing I'm curious about, and I'd be curious for you all to reflect on this as well, which is, there's no way I'm going to pick up a hitchhiker. I'm also not ever going to be on a road where someone's been beset by bandits. So what are the modern day equivalencies, things where it's certainly a feasible thing to do, we certainly should do it as examples of Jesus as the good neighbor. And yet, it's scary. We resist it. It's a thing we don't do. And I think you shared a great example of picking up a, it's one thing, I think, to host a foreign exchange student. Mm-hmm. To host the grown-up chaperone.
Yes.
I think that's more in the realm of, okay, that feels riskier. That
yes,
feels like a thing.
That was, but he was a super nice guy. I felt like I built someone that, he said, hey, if you're ever in France, stop by. And I thought, okay.
Yeah, not likely to happen, but yes. It's so great. I'll share, and again, I'd love for you to just, in your own reflection, or as you talk with your family afterwards, what's that thing that maybe you feel pretty confident that Jesus would want you to be doing it, but you don't? And I was certainly convicted hearing your story, because I have rolled my eyes, because there is a thing that exists, and I don't know if any of you guys even know that this exists, but we've all heard of Airbnb, and Vrbo and all those
sure.
sites. There is a Lutheran Airbnb.
Really?
There is. And I rolled my eyes so hard when I heard about this. They're like, oh, and it's exactly what you would think. You can find, wherever you're going for vacation, you can find a nice Lutheran family that's willing to let you have their house. And then they have the comfort and security of knowing that they're letting a nice Lutheran family of their own. Do it, and I rolled my eyes so hard, but yet, when you shared about having a not only a foreign person, not from our country, but that he's not even a believer,
right?
And I could just feel all my alarm.
Oh, the I
rising.
Said, God put you here. God put
yeah.
you. He goes, no, I was just lucky to get a nice family. I'm like, no, God put you here.
Yeah. Well, and that's the beauty of it. Like, there was a witness, a practical service that you did for him, with like what the Samaritan did. But then it ends up becoming the thing that points to
sure.
the deeper witness, which is that that Jesus cares about people's lives
sure.
and he cares about who they are. And so I thought that was just such a perfect example for you to share and one for us to reflect on. And I think just the final note I'd say in reflecting with your sharing about your dad and your own experiences is that the reason Jesus can tell a story like this is because he was the Good Samaritan.
Mm-hmm.
The Good Samaritan, he had business. He was on his way somewhere.
Sure.
He probably had deadlines and stuff to get done. It was an interruption to his journey, to his day, to
yep.
take care of this person. And in the same way, Jesus was doing just fine up in heaven. He was running the universe. The Bible says that basically it's through Jesus' power that we even exist moment to moment, that we live and breathe and have our being because Jesus is up there just making sure it all keeps working.
Sure.
I mean, Jesus was busy keeping the universe going, and he interrupted all of it to come down and be a neighbor literally to us,
yep.
to be in flesh and to model for us that sacrificial love that does risky things, that interrupts its schedule, that prioritizes the needs of people just because of the dignity of the fact
sure.
that they're human beings. And so I love that you chose that facet of Jesus to share, because I think it's such an important one. For those of us that are 2,000 years removed from his time on earth, it's easy to think of him in this more general way as our Lord, our Savior. He's up there in heaven. But to be reminded that for a while he was right down here with us, sitting
yep.
and having conversation, taking care of people who are hurting and wounded, and modeling for us the very kindness that he then describes in this parable of the Good Samaritan. So,
and I do teach driver ed, and I tell kids, do not pick up a hitchhiker.
Find a different thing. Find a better way, to bless your neighbor. So, Trevor, thank you so much for sharing. I know you've given me a lot to reflect on. I hope he's given you a lot to reflect on as well. Would you all